Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. You're here with Butterfly Evolution tonight as we plan to address a very, very unique and we think well-needed topic, legalistic religion. We do have a guest speaker that we're going to have on with us tonight. In addition, we're holding for a second guest speaker that I'm not sure if he's going to be able to call in tonight. Something has come up with him. But that being said, I want to go ahead and introduce our guest speaker. And her name, she's on with us now, and her name is Peggy Wettendorf. She's going to assist tonight and has some great comments and feedback on the subject legalistic religion. Before we get started, I want to thank all of you for tuning in tonight. Peggy and I was just talking, and Peggy, if you don't mind, go ahead and say hello.
Hello, everyone.
And we're going to let Peggy tell you a little bit about herself, as much as she'd like to share. But we were just talking about this topic and this subject being a not-so-popular topic. So we're just trusting that for those of you who are tuning in tonight, you're going to be blessed by this. I know certainly for Peggy and I and some of the others, we have, for me, it's just been, I don't know, something that has shown me that I really need to grow in this area. And before we go any further, I do want to just let you know Tika will not be joining us tonight. She is actually traveling, and we're just, maybe she's going to be able to call in. We're not real sure of that either, but if she does call in, she's going to be able to share some things with us as well, but she will be back on with us next Monday. Before going forward, again, we are here to empower, and that by addressing issues that can hold us back, and certainly this issue tonight can be one of those stumbling blocks for us and many Christians, and keep people that are really seeking and want to seek God in this manner. It can keep them from coming to us. So without any further ado, please remember that if you have comments, you have questions, and you want to come through online, please select the number one at any time. It doesn't have to be when you initially call in. You can select that number one at any time. Last week, we had a number of you that selected the one right at the end of the show, so we want to try to get everyone in. So try to, if you have a comment or a question, go ahead and select that number one, or if you feel like you're going to comment tonight, go ahead and select that number one. We do want you to comment tonight. We really want your feedback. Again, this is one of those not-so-popular topics, and people really want to kind of stay where they are, and they believe what they believe and are not always up to change when it comes to religion. Peggy, before I get started, is there anything you want to share or any comments or questions before I get started?
I'm going to agree. This is not, as you said, Tammy, this is not a really popular topic, and I think that the reason that it's not is because oftentimes when you use the word legalistic, it steps on toes. And so it's one of those topics that's long overdue, not necessarily just for us, but for churches to speak of. So I think that it's very timely, and I'm hoping that everyone that's listening tonight will take away something from this special, really hear what God is saying. This is not to criticize, certainly not to criticize or pick on any church whatsoever, but to help us to really look at God's word in the way he intended it.
I agree. So to start, I'd like to talk about religion itself, the word legalistic or legalism. We want to try to address the definition for those words and how they play into the legalistic religion and our walk with Christ. So what I did was, Peggy and I have been doing some research and came up with, as you all know, like to try to start out with the definition, and I found a couple of definitions, and not just my opinion, and keep in mind we're not forcing this on our belief on anyone, but in my opinion, when you bring religion, I wanted to start by looking up the word religion, and I know some of you may say, well, why do you really have to look that up? Interesting to me, because I believe, this is just my opinion, when you talk about a certain religion, for me, I started to think about the minute I put myself into a certain religion, a certain type of religion, I think I'm setting myself up for that legalistic religious attitude, so to speak. And the reason for me, the reason I say that is because I start to think about what if I had not had the opportunity to be exposed to Christ. And we do have people, you know, other countries that they don't have a freedom to practice religion or to serve God or to even read the word. I have a friend that went over to China, and just to hear the stories of how they have to kind of sneak their way in to these areas just to be able to tell people about Christ. So had I not been born in this era, where would I be? What would my religious belief be? And that's why I say the minute for me, and this, again, will not be for everyone, but, and Peggy, feel free to jump in, but that's where I go. If I were not able to have the opportunity that I have here and not been raised by, you know, God-fearing people who study the word and so forth. So that's why I think for me, when I think about religion, I don't think of myself as being, you know, in a certain type of religion. But I'd like to also bring that back. You guys know, you've probably, for your repeat listeners, you've heard the ham story. I think of religion no different from that. And if you've not heard the ham story, it talks about where a family of women just continued to cut pieces of ham bones because they had seen their relatives do the same prior to, only later to find out that they did that because there was never a pan big enough or large enough to cook that particular ham. And I think we have found or have gotten stuck in some ways in Christian, in the beliefs or the laws, so to speak, of what we cannot do and what we can do. And we're going to get into some of those things a little bit later. But as we go through it, start thinking about some of the things that you heard coming up. I know I had a conversation with someone about something as simple as playing cards, how we were, and I was from that same household where cards were considered to be satanic. And she took that on, never played cards a day in her life. I just didn't see the point. I love to play cards. But those are the kind of things that can get people, and that's simple as cards, but you think about those major things that can hold a person back when you start to put the law into your faith and your walk with Christ. So that being said, I'm going to read just a few of the definitions. Peggy, you have anything?
Well, I was listening to you talk about the cutting of the ham, cutting of the ham bone, and the thought that came to me is learned behavior from our, because I was reflecting on my upbringing, and I grew up in a very racist house home, you know, where even though I'm not racist, I was brought up in that, and that's learned behavior, and we're taught that. And as I became a young person, I began to kind of wise up and discover that my parents weren't always right and that I had my own mind. But those teachings that we learn in the home, right or wrong, are handed down, and we can just, out of habit, just continue them and repeat them and not even know why we're doing them.
Correct. Particularly if we don't go to the word. You have to go to the word for yourself. I remember reading somewhere in the Bible where it says, you know, even some point of our, and I think that's what you're saying, Peggy, at some point, even the way that we worship Christ is somehow has to do with our past. We bring our past even into the way that we worship or the way that we don't worship the word or believe the word.
Absolutely.
So I agree with. Mm-hmm. And again, those of you who are listening, please feel free to press 1 at any time because we really don't want this to be just about our opinion because this is such an unpopular topic. So we don't want you to just take our word. We want to hear what you have to say because it too may be a blessing plus, I know, again, as we started to go through this, I can see some areas where I need to grow, where there's that thin line where it becomes judging or not. So feel free at any time to press the number one. Okay, well, I'm going to go forward and just read. Of course, all of you know, when you get to talking about legalistic, legal basically means law, or, you know, it's either part of the law, it means it's okay for it to happen this way or for you to act this way. It's basically a regulation of your actions. And illegal, of course, is things that are forbidden or prohibited. And, again, keep in mind and think about how does this apply to the way we live as Christians and the legalistic religion. Legalism is described, one of the definitions for legalism is strict, literal, or excessive, conformative to the law or to a religious or moral code. That's one of them. There's another legalism definition for legalism that says a religious system that teaches that a person can do something to earn or merit salvation or blessings from God. And again, we're going to talk about some of those things. The Oxford English Dictionary provides a more strict definition as the subject that we're talking about tonight. And it says the principles of those who hold a theological position of adhering to the laws as opposed to the gospel. And again, that's bringing the law into the gospel. The doctrine of justification by works. There's a lot of people, myself included, until very recently, you think that what you do will get you into heaven. You know, how many people you help, how much you give of yourself. And this I know just from going to Bible study this last year, you know, a lot of times people get caught up in they serve, till they're so tired they don't have time to even read the word and really grow their relationship with Christ. So when you're out serving, you may not have as much to give if you took time to do the things that God is giving you to do or telling you to do. And Peggy, I think you were in on some of those conversations where we talked mm-hmm. about, you know, working so much, doing so many things until it can sometimes keep you stagnant from what God is telling you or the things that you should be hearing from God because you're so worn out from serving. And a lot of people, I think that's a learned behavior. And again, I'd love for you all, some of you all, to get in on this one. A learned behavior of go, 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 do, do, do. And sometimes, you know, when we're doing that. Huh?
I recall a time years back when I was, I still go to church, but in a former church, and it wasn't the church's fault. I'm just saying this is what, you know, we're taught from a lot of churches. But church attendance, I think that all of us can agree, is usually pretty much heavily promoted. And we need to. Scripture states, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together with other believers. And there's a reason for that. We need to draw strength one from the other, be accountable to one another. But I recall a time when I was a full-time working mom, wife, youth pastor, busy going to church, you know, just had all the, my son playing football. But we were in that door every time the church doors were open. Now, if I missed a Sunday just because I was tired, people would ask where you were, and you felt guilty, you know.
Right.
And I've come to a place in my life with Bill that I decided when we married and we started going to church together, because the church aspect was fairly new to him, I told him up front, I said, you know what, I want to be in church every Sunday, and I'd like to get a filler through the week because I need that freshness through the week also, because I need to get through. I need my gas tank filled. But I don't want to feel as though we have got to be there every single Sunday night, because I remembered how it was for me. And I said, I don't believe that God gets angry with us if we decide we want to take a night off. I just don't see that. I think that is a man-made rule.
Right.
That's my opinion.
I agree. And we have someone that seems like wants to get in, so I'd like to hear before moving forward. Sure. I just kind of want to get everybody in because, again, I'd like to hear as many opinions on this topic as possible because, again, it is an unpopular topic, however, one that does need to be discussed because, again, I think so many of us get caught up in the law and how other people will think, like Peggy just said, not going to church. You get more of the looks from the fellow believers after showing up, and if you just said, you know, I was really tired, you can be judged by that, you know. Mm-hmm. So I want to get a caller in. This is a caller from our 901 area code, the last four of 0850. Caller, you're on the air with us.
Hey, everybody. How y'all doing?
We're good. Who do we have online with us?
It's Chris.
Hi, Chris.
Hey,
how are you?
I'm good.
Hey,
I'm
Chris.
Good. Hey, Peggy. Y'all doing all right?
Doing
you have
good.
A comment or a question or both?
I agree. I totally agree with everything. And legalism seems to be in our churches nowadays. It seems to dominate the church. The church era nowadays. I mean, you have a lot of man-made programs and stuff like that, and it's not really a Holy Spirit-led church nowadays. It's really out here. It's not that many, and it's like, I don't believe that we can experience the joy if we're not being led by God's Spirit, and we cannot be led by the Holy Spirit and live simultaneously under the law. A legalistic mentality says that everybody has to do exactly the same thing, the same way all the time. But the Spirit of God leads us individually and often in unique creative ways, you know. And the written word says the same things to everyone, and it is not a matter of private interpretation. What this means is that the Word of God does not say to say one thing to one person and another thing to someone else. However, the direct leadership of the Holy Spirit is a personal issue. God may lead one person not to eat sugar because he knows of a health issue in his or her life, but that may not be the rule for everyone. People who are legalistic try to take God's word to them and make it a law for Israel. You know, and Jesus, he came to set the captives free. We are not free to do whatever we feel like doing, but we have been set free from legalism and are now free to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. You know, and I don't, you know, and it's like I was saying earlier, you know, we can't, it's like we limiting him by putting these man-made programs by this legalism. You know, it seems like we are limiting him, you know, in his work, you know, in the church and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And that's what I believe. You know, I believe that it's limiting him to really fully work, you know what I'm saying, in the church and stuff like that. You know, and just really work in the churches and on a supernatural scale. You know, and it's like a lot of people nowadays, they create these programs, and it's like an alternative to, you know what I'm saying, the real thing. I mean, like, not to say, you know what I'm saying, I don't want to sugarcoat it, because, you know, legalism it needs to be exited. It needs to vanish, really, you know, because mm-hmm. it's limiting God's work.
So you're saying you're seeing it in the church, and well, not necessarily in the form of the programs, these kind of man-made programs that are created. Would you mind just going a little bit into more detail of that? Because I want to see the reference to the legalism in that with the programs, the type of programs that you're talking about. Find that interesting, because in researching this topic, it talks a lot about the churches and the things that the churches are doing now or not doing, which I find interesting, because I've started to see those same things just kind of stand out to me. I noticed, you know, there's a lot of churches where we don't have Bible study, we don't have prayer, but there's all these other programs that, you know, I think are leaving people empty. And I think it also, it just brings room for that legalism, because now everybody is trying to glorify each other or feed off of each other, and we kind of remove God's plan out of it, you know. So if you don't mind, Chris, briefly, would you just kind of tell us a little bit more about what you mean by that? I find that interesting that you brought those programs and things like that into it as we are talking about legalism.
Well, what I really, to boil it down, you know what I'm saying, I'm not saying that, you know, that it's just like extremely totally wrong to have, like, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Well, I mean, you see what I'm saying. You know, I don't,
it's
you know,
not right.
I'm not really totally banishing, like, you know, sections, Bible groups and stuff like that. You know, but it seems like we're indulging in this so much that you know, mm-hmm. we done in these programs, and we have these programs, stuff like that, so much that it seems like it's just the only way to experience God.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
I do.
You know,
I
just had a thought, if you don't mind. I'm wondering, and what Chris is saying, I see so much truth in that. I'm wondering if maybe a lot of these, a lot of churches are creating so many different, what I'll call filler programs, because they're attractive. And by drawing in more people with attractive programs, they're drawing, like I said, they're drawing people in. However, it's leaving people, many of the programs, not all of them, because they have great Bible studies, they have great
mm-hmm.
counseling, you know, different sessions that people have, mentoring programs and so on, but leaving people empty. My concern would be that that churches can get so focused on programs that when the people go, they're going to be entertained. That's my
concern.
They're
going to be in those programs specifically,
yes.
basically.
Right. Okay. Well, Chris, thank you. Anything else? Any other questions or comments?
That's it, Miss Tammy.
Okay. Would you like for us to leave you in or put you back in into the mute mode?
You can leave us in. Leave me in.
Okay.
I might have something else to say or whatever.
Okay. Well, we're going to move on. And again, we don't want to confuse, because there is, you know, there is accountability to God's word for sure. So we're not talking about, you know, not holding people accountable to scripture. We're just talking about those certain passages that of scripture that people tend to just kind of take and create a law, but these things cannot be supported in its full light. You can't really support them through the word. So, you know, I like to think of it this way: as you think of a lawyer who's defending a client. His goal is to win, regardless, any means necessary. He can take the law. They all, you know, they all have a test that they have to pass. But as you all know and can agree, there's lawyers that have represented people that they fully knew were guilty, and they won. Because they are able to twist the law and make, you know, create this reasonable doubt to the jury that allows their, you know, their defendant to get off. So that's in viewing all of this, that's the mindset I kept, you know, just like a lawyer standing before you, just making the word what they want it to be based on their life or their end goals, what they want out of it. Mm-hmm. So keep that in mind. We're not speaking about, because the word, we are accountable for the word. We are accountable, and we are to help people be accountable for the word. But when you, again, when you bring law into it, you know, you have people thinking, I'm sorry, but I'll use my own self as an example again. I love to dance. I simply love to dance. I have always loved to dance. I will always, I think, love to dance. And for someone to come in my life and think, well, you're not spiritual because you like to dance or you want to dance. Things like that will keep people away from the church. Mm-hmm. It will keep people mm-hmm. from around so-called Christian people or spiritual people. And the word tells us, you know, to love people like they are, because I may be doing something that in God's eyes is wrong for me. And I remember my grandmother telling me long ago, of course, if it does not convict you, it's not wrong for you. Mm-hmm. God will when you're in God, you know, you're studying God's word and you're living the word and studying your word in prayer and having your relationship with God. God will always tell you when it's wrong, when you're wrong, when what you're doing is wrong. There will be some conviction there. Now, whether you adhere to it or not is a different thing. But there is that mindset there that God tells you, you know, this is not right. And I think God allows us or wants us from at different times to give up certain things just because he wants to know, will you do it for me?
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of my take on that. Peggy, anything from you on your end?
Well, you know, I was you and I had talked earlier, and I'm really stuck on 1 Timothy 3:2. You know, in every church, most churches, you know how I'm stuck on that one now. In most churches, and I'm assuming all churches, I know all that I've gone to, they you qualify when you have elders, deacons, what have you. There are qualifications that have to be met as far as that person's character, and it's scriptural. And they go to 1 Timothy 3, and Paul gave those instructions to Timothy in establishing board members and so on for his church. And it mentions in there, it starts talking about what they need to be. You know, they need to have wives that are in order and so on. But it talks about a husband of but one wife. He tells Timothy the man should be a husband of but one wife. Now, here I've attended churches to where a pastor, when people have been nominated to be a board member, whether it be elder, deacon, what have you, they get kicked out of the running because they've been divorced. Now, you know, I know that divorce existed back in the day of Moses. So I think that Paul had enough sense because he was an educated man, and he also knew how to deal with people who were legalistic. I think that Paul had enough sense that he would have said a husband of but one wife and a man who has not been divorced. He would have included that if that were the case. But what happens is we get man's hand in on the scripture, and they see that, or they misunderstand that, or they turn, well, you know, one wife, then that person's been divorced, so he's actually had more than one wife. That's not what it means, and that is not that's not the intent of the scripture. Back in that time, it was very common for men to be married to more than one woman. Although
right,
it was
right.
not, you know, although it was not condoned by God, it was not godly. There, that was part of that lifestyle, just as it is today, where there are a lot of people who choose to live as couples outside of marriage. And so that's a good example of what I believe the distorting of God's word and twisting it to where it's
a lot of people
don't
think that's kind of wrong, though.
Pardon me?
You know, I said a lot of people don't think that's wrong, like as far as, like if the couple's not married and they're living, you know, in the same house with each other, you know, so just like living in, you know, in a house or whatever, and, you know, and for me, I never looked at it as wrong, but now I see according to scripture that it is, you know, like as far as living with the person, living with your mate before you marry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and at first I didn't see that as as something, you know, I didn't really quite know that was in the Bible. It's just me right there. I didn't know.
Okay. Well, we have some other people that want to get in, so I'm going to bring, we have Latasha from Georgia that I'm going to pull in. Latasha, are you on air with us?
Hi, Tammy.
Hi,
I'm
how are
Teddy.
You?
Hello.
I'm fine.
Hi. Hey, Chris.
How you doing?
I want to touch on two things. The first thing is, Tammy, you spoke earlier about the cars, and I think you're referring to me because back when I was very little, my grandmother, we would try to bring cars in the house, but she didn't allow cars. It was, you know, satanic, like Tammy said, and it was evil. And I'll be 37 next week. And I do not know how to play cards. A lot of people laugh when I tell them that, but it's the truth. Now it's like as I began to grow, I started thinking, you know what? It's not evil. It's not bad. A deck of cards is not bad. But see, that's what I was taught. As Miss Peggy said, it's a learned behavior. And it was a learned behavior for me because I still don't know how to play play cards, but I do want to know. I do want to learn how to play cards. Another thing I wanted to touch basis on was dancing. I love to sing. I love to dance. And I can recall going to school, going home, doing my homework, and then Granny sees me outside dancing. And her exact words verbatim was, "A dance is not going to get you into heaven." Hmm. And I remember saying, "Dancing is not going to get me into heaven." And I stopped dancing for a while. But I had somebody to tell me, you know what, if you want to dance, dance. I don't think there's nothing wrong with dancing. I don't think you're going to go to hell just because you're dancing. And I started by dancing. And it's something that I'm never going to give up. It's something that I love to do, and I do it well. But it is a learned behavior, and sometimes those behaviors will continue as you continue to mature in life, grow up in life, become young men, young women, and that's something that happened to me. Until about 4 years ago, it's about 4 years ago, I didn't want to learn how to play a set of cards. I didn't want to know about spades and all type of different games dealing with cards. I didn't want to know about them because I thought it was evil. It was the devil's way because that's what I was taught. So I just pretty much want to touch basis on that you are right. There is a lot of unrealistic religions, and the two that I grew up with was dancing and playing cards. So it's good to hear that other people have, you know, some of those issues and are facing unrealistic religion, that you're not the only one that were taught something and you brought it to, you know, adult life. So that's, I just want to touch basis on that.
Okay. Thank you, Tasha. And I heard what stood out to me is as you started to grow, when you grew. And I think what helps you in that is when you grow in Christ, because, no, dancing will not get you into heaven, but not doing it won't send you to hell and it won't send you to heaven. And that's what I think we're trying to get out, one of the things we're trying to get out, that, you know, yes, they're, again, not talking about not being responsible and accountable for the word, but, you know, we can get as much as, you know, women not wearing lipstick, fingernail polish, things like that, not dancing, not playing cards. Imagine how many people will stay out of the church if we want to just bring the church into it like that. How many people will we keep away by all of these laws, all of these things that you cannot do? This will keep you from going to Christ. This will keep you from going to heaven. This will keep you from going to heaven. And as you start to establish a relationship with God, again, I think God will give you a distaste for things that are not for you at wherever your walk is with Him. So we appreciate it, Tasha, and maybe somebody will hear you in Georgia and teach you how to play some cards. Okay?
Okay, Sammy.
Anything?
Say it again.
Anything you want to share?
No, just to say that God is the head of my life, and you are right. When you begin to seek God, He shows you so many things that the best for you and things that are not the best for you. But you're right. And, again, thank you for the topic. You guys are just great. So God bless.
Thank you. Peggy, do you have anything for Tasha?
I so agree with her and with you. I believe that the more we seek God, the closer we become to God, the greater our vision changes, the clearer we begin to see. And I think that's what happened to her when she began to see that the cards really weren't evil. Her vision changed. Because
right.
She was getting closer and closer to the Lord. And that conviction
right.
God began to show her was a false conviction.
I agree. Well, thanks again, Tasha. We're going to bring, I believe we have online with us, Earlene or Kim. Or both.
Hi, Tammy.
Carla, are you on air with us?
He is. I was just going to say, and I think you've already said it, that for me, I don't think in terms of religion. I think we talked about that in our prayer group. I think in terms of relationship, and Tammy, you said that, and that to me that eases the tension of all the logistics of religion. It's about a relationship. I have a relationship with the Lord that makes me feel closer to Him, and I think one of the most freeing things that for me, and along the lines of legalism. And a minister said this. He said that you know, it's with the, it's not saying that we shouldn't do things to please the Lord and should not be obedient to his word. We're not saying those things. But he was just saying the things that we do are not things that we're doing to gain salvation. If we've already received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we have salvation. The things that we're doing to please God is to say thank you for what has already been accomplished. We don't have to continue trying to accomplish that. When it's been accomplished, it's been accomplished. And all the other things that we do is just simply say thank you. Because
right.
Jesus did an awesome thing. And we just thank him for it. As you thank him for it, you want to please him. You have a desire in your heart to do it, not because you won't be saved if you don't do it, or you won't continue to be
right.
saved. So that was my little input on that.
There's nothing we can do to ever repay what has already been done. And I think you're exactly right. You know, we get caught up in trying to do the work. I know I was there, you know, trying to do everything, be everywhere, and replacing it with having a true relationship, which tells
right.
you where to go, where to serve, you know, what to do, when to do it, that tells you when to rest. Okay, you just need to, you know, just rest and study my word. So I agree, relationship is an important part in this. And if you don't have that, I think it's really easy to get into the legalistic part of religion, the judgmental part of it, and because you've removed God. You're self-seeking, self-serving, and so forth. I agree.
And then, Tammy, sometimes you've got to have time to get your orders. I mean, if you're being obedient to God and what he wants you to do, sometimes if you get too much, if you're entangled too much in the things of what I call churchosity sometimes, you don't really have time to have enough communication with him to get your orders. Sometimes our orders, I think, is a little different from what man decides that they are, even if it was within the church community. And I thank you. That's all.
All right. Thank you. That reminds me of when Ms. Erling said that about, you know, with military. I don't know why. I think I've heard this somewhere before. You know, when the military gets their orders to go wherever they have to go, they get them and they have time to prepare for that, you know, that departure that they're going to go to. They don't go and then they send the orders later. You know, so we have to, again, be in a relationship with God for that. Anything, I do have the callers still in queue, so I have Latasha and Chris, and if you guys have anything that you want to comment on that, feel free to do so. We do have another caller waiting. If you don't, I'd like to bring them in. Peggy, do you have anything from Ms. Erling's comment?
No, I'd love to hear the other callers and give them some time as well.
Okay. Okay, we have a caller, I do believe. We have a caller from the 901 area code, 9621, the last four. Caller? I believe, is this Mike? Okay, maybe not. I'm just going to put them back in. I'll leave them open so if they want to come through. But, yes, again, we're going to get back to the relationship part of that is a very, very important part in keeping out the judge part of it. Carla, are you with us now? Okay. I hear them. This is Carla, you're on the air with us. Okay. I'm going to put them back in queue. I think they may have selected a number and not really want to come through. Okay? Okay, Peggy, you have anything else?
You know, I think that what Erling said was just well said, well spoken, and I think that, you know, I think it is all about our love walk, you know, with the Lord. And, Erling, I think you just, you know how I feel about you. I just think that was well said and probably very freeing for a lot of people.
Yeah, because I believe that. I believe it as well. You know, everything, you know, it comes back to a personal relationship with Jesus, you know, and that crushes every other thing that, you know, this man made and stuff like that. And it's like, it's not, you know, people have lost that, it seems like.
People have lost what was that, Chris? That personal relationship?
Not since they lost it, it's like they kind of replaced it and got confused. Remember I was telling you about people confuse nowadays work you know, working for him, as a relationship with him, like spending time with him and stuff like that, about going to the Father and asking him, more, you know, mourn along, that's working for your Father. That's not spending time with your Father. You know what I'm telling you about that? You probably,
right.
You probably kind of think, yeah. And, you know, it's like, huh?
I do. I remember having that conversation.
And it's like people now, it seems to me that people confuse that with a relationship with God. Like they're working for him. They're like, oh, yeah, this is my relationship with God. You know what I'm saying? And I don't think that's quite right. I think that's like
right.
Kind of like a form of legalism, is it? I might be wrong.
Right. I'd like to hear some other examples of, we talked a bit about, we've discussed card playing, not being divorced. What are some of the other things?
I was gonna like natural.
What are
like,
some of the,
like,
and callers, feel free to come back in if you'd like. What are some of the other things that you see that are the legalistic part of religion? I have a few that like go out, but I'd like to hear some of your opinions of some of the things that you see that are part of the law and not part of the word. Anybody feel free to jump in.
Well, I'm quick to jump in on the bylaws where we had talked earlier about, you and I had talked earlier about, there was a church Bill and I visited in Ohio, and they give you a copy, or they offer a copy of their bylaws if you plan to join the church. You know, you need to read over their what their church agreement is and so on. There was two in there that stood out at me, and one of them was that each person that wanted to join that church must be seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, I knew that was going to be an X for Bill because, you know, he's just not seeking that. And number one, that's not going to keep him from heaven. The second one was that they must go before the board. And, you know, I just couldn't line either one of those up with Scripture anywhere, because nowhere in Scripture does Jesus require that of us. And, I called the pastor because, you know, he wanted to meet with us, and I called him and said, you know, I can't line this up with Scripture, and neither of these are going to keep us from heaven. And I'm having a problem with this because this does not seem to be a scriptural policy. There's nowhere in Scripture, so this appears to be man-made. And he goes, well, it is one that we had to implement. So to me, that's legalism. That's a man-made law.
I wonder what was the reasoning behind feeling the need to implement that law.
His response to that was that they wanted a church that had people who were filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because they wanted the moving and the presence of the Holy Spirit more. Therefore, they needed people who were seeking to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they wanted them to go to the board in order for the board to finally determine whether or not they had received it.
Mm-hmm. And see, I think that's totally, my opinion, is you're removing the grace and the glory of God when you will make people turn away and never come back. You know, I so often hear about the number of women that are in church opposed to the number of men. And, you know, it's, I think one of the reasons is because, and this may be getting off, but men kind of see through certain things, and they're not going to be emotionally, or they don't feel like they have to, and if this is a bad choice of words, they could care less about what the pastor thinks about them when you get into all of this guilt preaching and this whatever you want to call it. But there's more women. I think I heard the statistics say it was about 67% more women in church than it is men, somewhere around there. And I think because they learn how to pray on us, and that's sad. But think of how many people, how many families are not coming. You got women going to church alone because of some of these laws. Men won't accompany their wives because they feel like, you know, where is God in what you're doing or what that church is doing? But when you step into a church, as Peggy, you were just talking about, well, you got to go before a board to make you feel like I have to be voted in, you know, where is that scripture that I have to be voted into your church, so to speak, and to go before a board? I could see going before one. What can we do to help you? Where are you where do you feel like you are not growing or you feel helped? Those are the kind of things that, that fellow members should be pulling people in, my opinion, is to see what can we do to help you grow, not tell you where to grow, you know. So my opinion, anybody want to jump in, again, feel free to do so.
Yeah, I agree with that, Tammy.
Okay. I do see we have another caller. I'm going to try to bring the caller back in. Caller, you're on the air with us from 901, the last four, 9621.
Hello.
You're on air with us. Hi.
Hey, how you
Mike?
Doing?
We were trying to bring you in, but I...
Yeah, I know.
Can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
The question is, you said religion... Legalistic religion?
Yes.
Okay. Well, the question I have to ask is that since we're on the subject of religion, is that, and I challenge all the callers, all the listeners, and also people that are on the blog tonight, is to, when they go home, search and look up Armenian Creed. Because since we're on the subject of religion, we need to find out. It's like when they say overstand or understand, we need to get an understanding of where this word arrived from. And the question is, where did this word arrive from, religion?
What, the word religion?
Yes, where the word religion arrived from. Because, in my opinion, religion... it's more of a culture thing. It's more of a placement. It's more of a I'm over here and you over there.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of a
yes.
Like countries. It's more mm-hmm. of a this
yeah,
is my country.
Were you able,
this is your country.
Mike, were you able to hear the first part of the show when I started out with the religion that I think religion, once you bring religion into it, you're already, my opinion, you're already in the form of legalism, so to speak, because you're saying that your way is basically, I think, sometimes this is the way
yes.
it is.
I called it at the end, I'm sorry. But
and,
I was
and the reason,
to the other callers.
Okay. That's okay. The reason we went there or I went there because my point on that was, you know, we fortunately we've been given the opportunity to know about Christ. But let's say we were born in China. And I reference having my friend go over to China and have to hear her story about having to sneak, you know, in order to tell people about
yeah.
God. So,
yeah.
again, I think we're probably on the same page in saying once you bring religion or you separate it saying religion, you can easily fall into that legalistic era of it because
my,
narrowed it down to a certain
yeah.
religion, your belief in your
yeah,
belief.
Because my opinion on the word religion, really the word religion arrives from a Latin word, meaning the prefix of religion is re. Re meaning return. Religion meaning to bondage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And to me, it's not about religion, it's about faith. It's about believing in the unseen. It's just like breathing air. You don't see air, but you know it's there, because if it wasn't there, you wouldn't be living. And I'm glad, like you said, the subject of religion, it's a very powerful subject. And wars have been started because of this subject. People have been enslaved because of this subject. For we can go on and on about the word religion. There have been genocides in the world because of religion.
Mm-hmm.
And the word religion is really a cloth of culture. Of it's the word itself should be vanished, because it's like I said, it's more to me is about faith than the word religion, because people use.
Sorry,
hello?
You guys. You're back on. I'm sorry. We just had a little interruption there.
Okay.
Does anybody want to comment or have a question as to what the comment that Mike or the question about the religion?
I really
yeah.
I really respect
yeah, I
Mike's comment. You know, Jesus had a lot of issue with the Pharisees because they carried themselves in such a religious manner. And that's, you know, here again, that's just a way to carry oneself. It's behavior. And it's not heart condition. That's a behavior. And so Jesus mm-hmm. took issue with that. So I really appreciate what Mike's saying. I think that we're saying somewhat, we're talking somewhat along the same line. I'm hopeful that we are.
Right. Okay. Anybody else? Mike, are you?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay.
Hello?
Okay.
But write this word down before I leave. Armitic Creed. Armitic Creed. Write that down and Google it, search it. It's a creed. And that creed was established thousands and thousands of years ago after faith, after they realized that people had begun to start having faith in a God that was greater than on earth. A lot of kings and queens have posed themselves up to be kings and queens. And then they realized that people had begun to see them as what they were, just like them. And the kings and queens had started to realize that the people were uprising and opposing their beliefs. So they said, if you cannot defeat them, we might as well join them, but let's make it our Armitic creed. In other words, let's return them to bondage by using their own faith, mm-hmm. which was religion. And as long as they believe in our culture, and as long as they believe in what we feed them, they will never get to the point where they believe or see who their true God is. And it's called the Armitic Creed by Constantine Canope. And the Pope and him had got together after crucifying Christians, burning them to the stake. The Pope, the man that they call right now the great Christian or whatever, at one time they were actually burning Christians. And they realized they got together, and it was called the Armitic Creed. They got together in a cathedral, and they decided that we will make this religion, and we will have them to worship this religion, but at the same time, we will capture them and control them with this religion. And it's called the Armitic Creed.
Mike, would you spell the first part of that for us? We got creed, but what was the first part? Would you spell it?
The first word is called Armitic, Armedic, creed,
okay.
Creed.
Okay, got it. Okay, well, thanks for that. We have about 6 minutes to go, so we want to get just a few more things in. Thank you, and I'll definitely look that up. And again, I think we're basically saying the same thing that, you know, once again, you bring religion into it, you're bound to create some laws there and think that people or other Christians should do or have the same, should do the things that you do and do them in the same way, so to speak. Anything from any of the other callers? If not, then I'd like to just go over a few things that I found that were listed as part of legalistic things, or legalism in Christian living. And one of the things, or a couple of the things, was, again, I think I just spoke on that, whereas you think, well, he or she does not do the certain things or follow the certain do's or don'ts that my religion would have one do. Some other things are, go ahead. Some other things are the way a person dresses. I know that this happens a lot, particularly in the church today, where you have women, I'll say most women, showing up to church in more of a secluded, Peggy? Just kind of showing up with things that you would not, or people would think that one would not wear to church. That's a
maybe feel that the women are dressed inappropriately. Is that what you're saying?
Right. They're just revealing a bit too much. That's a big one in church today, to where mm-hmm. you hear that some people feel like women are showing up at church as if they were going to the club or dancing, too revealing. That's another one. And so just throwing out some things that I've heard, you know, speaking in tongues, I know, Peggy, you talked about the Holy Spirit. There are some people or some churches that, like, if you don't ever learn to speak in tongues or be able to discern it, that you're not Christian. You've not totally made it there, so to speak. So things like that can certainly keep people, again, away from the church and make people not want to be around so-called Christians.
Tammy, that brought back a memory to me that was almost hysterical. I had an incident at a former church years ago, back when we were new Christians, and the pastor's wife came to me and said, we met, Peggy, and we were concerned because, you know, you say you've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but none of us have ever heard you speak in tongues, and we need to hear you speak in tongues. What?
And
I was floored by that. I mean, absolutely floored.
Right. As you should have been, and should have just gone out the door. but those are the things. Those things are going on in the church today, or in not necessarily in the church. You have people that do it outside of the church. They bring their, their opinion and the way that they were brought up, their past. Like Tasha said, you know, those things she remembers as a little girl being told, dancing will not get you into heaven. Dance will not keep her out of heaven, and
right.
You know, so those are the kind of things that, you know, it could have kept Tasha away from the church because of her love to dance, and so to speak. And then if it comes to a time where God is ready for her to give that up, and she has that relationship, He will discern that to her or to anyone that gets to that point where God is saying, "I'm calling you out of this. This season has passed." For this, this season has passed. So we're going to sum it up. I just would like to say again, we're not talking about not being obedient to God's word. We all are accountable, and we should help hold one another accountable. But again, keep your personal opinions out of it. And again, the word tells us, welcome with open arms fellow believers who don't see things the way you do. And don't jump all over them every time that they do or say something that you don't agree with or is not the way that you were taught. You know, Latasha could have easily told people, you shouldn't dance, you shouldn't play cards. And then there's someone else that's taken that and moved on with that law and not having any words to back it up. So if anybody, as we sum it up, anybody has some final words to say?
Hello?
Okay. Well, everyone has taken something from this. If nothing else, I think that I will want to be a little less judgmental of people and what they do and when they do it, and always wanting them to do something, I think, the way that I believe or respond and be accountable for the things that I want to be accountable for and how I want to be accountable for them. So, with that being said, if nothing else, remember, it is about your relationship with God, as Ms. Erlene said it best. It is about your relationship. And once you have that, just as any relationship with anyone, once you get to know someone, hear their voice, and you know what they're saying to you. So that being said, thanks to everyone for listening in tonight, particularly our repeat listeners. Thank you, Peggy. Thank you, Chris. Latasha, Ms. Erlene, Mike, all of you who commented and had questions. It's been a great topic. Again, not the popular topic, but one that needs to be addressed. So that being said, we'll see you next Monday, same time. Thanks again to everyone. Good night.
Okay. Good night.